Heavenly Father, when we were little, we knew how to dance. No one had to teach us. We moved in the joy and the glory of the Lord even before we knew your name. But we fell. And when we fell to the lies of Satan, when we fell to the lies of our world and our culture, when we fell to the lies of religion, when we fell to the lure of the flesh, we truly forgot how to dance before the Lord. That is an awful loss. That is an awful loss. And Father, I long for the day when these feet will move once again in abandonment before the Lord. As David danced before the Ark of the Covenant and said, I will be more undignified than this. I look forward to the day that we dance up and down the streets of glory. Oh, Father, what a day that will be. What a day that will be. Lord, I would pray that even now you would start to restore such joy to your bride, such joy to every one of us, that we would not be able to stand still. Father, I thank you for this time to just rejoice in you. We can only imagine what it's going to be like. Will I dance with you, Jesus? Or in awe of you, be still. Lord, help. Lord, help that I learn to dance again. Father, the churches of America have faltered in the dance. Father, we've failed to reflect the abundant life and joy that is ours in Jesus. This thief came and he stole and he killed and he destroyed and we lost our dance. Restore us, O Lord. With David we cry out, restore to us the joy of thy salvation. Renew a right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from us. And Father, then when we dance, we can teach transgressors their ways and sinners will be converted unto you. Let the dance begin in me. And let the dance begin in the people of God. Lord, help us. Father, I think about people that I love very much that are hurting very much today because of the loss of loved ones. And I think of every week how that happens. And I think of the one who is in intensive care or in a hospice care at Mercy Hospital waiting to see Jesus. I think of people that are going through the valley, Lord, standing with loved ones. I think of those who've said goodbye. I think of those whose bodies are betraying them. I think of those, Father, who are struggling with an emotion, a depression, whatever it is. And in the name and power of Jesus, I pray, Father, work in the hearts and lives of people. Father, do what only you can do. We point everyone to Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of the dance. He's the Lord of the dance. Bless now, Lord, as we seek once again our Savior, the written Word revealing to us the living Word. Help us this day, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen. It was probably about 1980. I was a green as gourd preacher. I had come out of seminary in 1979, accepted the call to pastor at the Mount Sinai Baptist Church in Boaz between Nixa and Clever, some of the greatest people that I've ever known in that location. And as I began my ministry there, I really, at times, felt like I was preaching well. I'd look out and it just felt like every eye in the place was on me. You know what I mean? I mean, I just kind of felt like they were there. And, yeah, I had a little pride going there. A little bit, not, I don't think, maybe as much as it could have been, but way more than it should have been, a little bit of that. But the Holy Spirit has a way of tripping you when you're walking in pride. And so on this particular day, I was waxing eloquent. Oh, I was preaching, and I was preaching a message on the authority and the integrity of God's Word. And I loved the Word then, and I love it more now. And again, I just felt like they're with me. And I came near the end of that message. And I came to that grand moment where I said with authority, "Let's all stand on the Word of God." But just as I said stand, that good man, a friend of mine, who had been up since 4 o'clock in the morning getting those dairy cows taken care of, and that room was warm, and he had settled in, and all he heard was, "Let's all stand." He thought, "It's about over." And up he came. I can still see him back there, standing up there for the invitation. And I realized that you don't always have people listening like you think you do. And I learned a lesson as a young preacher. Be careful in a Baptist church when you say, "Let's all stand." There's people ready to go, Pastor. How do you stand? How do you stand? How do you stand spiritually? See, I still believe that everybody stands somewhere spiritually. They stand on the side of Jesus Christ and trusting Him, or they stand in the flesh, trusting the flesh or something else. Where do you stand? How do you stand? And when it comes to your battle with Satan, how do you stand? How do you stand? And thankfully, that great warrior of the faith, the Apostle Paul, tells us how to stand. If you have your Bible, you're going to look with me in Ephesians chapter 6. A passage that is powerful, a passage that I've loved for many years. And I want you to look with me at how Paul addresses the reality. And my friend, I don't have to convince you that it's reality. The reality that there is an enemy, an adversary, and he does indeed attack. How do you stand? How do you successfully stand against Satan? I want you to see what happens according to this text. I'm in chapter 6. I want to start with verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Verse 14, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Always when you go to your Word, always when you go to the Bible, you watch for things that are repeated, That's not the only thing you do, but that's one of the things you do. And in this text, starting with verse 18, you find one word or a derivative of that one word four times. So when you look at verses 11, 13, and 14, you will hear Paul challenging the Christians in Ephesus to stand, to withstand, literally that means to stand against, to stand and to stand. Four times he says stand. 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 Bringing before us the question, how could they successfully stand against Satan? Those enemies that are cosmic, those spiritual enemies, those principalities, those powers, those rulers of the darkness of this age, those spiritual hosts of wickedness, how in the world are we going to stand against such adversaries? And I found it intriguing that he begins by calling them to stand, and he ends by calling them to kneel. He begins by calling them to stand. He ends by calling them to steal. And maybe some person would say, okay, Paul, which is it? Which is it, Paul? Do we stand against Satan and his wiles, or do we kneel? And I think it not improbable that Paul would answer, yes, yes. So here is what I want to say to you. Paul may be saying to them and to us, are you ready? Stand on your knees. Stand on your knees. The only way to successfully stand against Satan is on your knees. That's the message of the hour. Stand on your knees. I do not think Satan trembles when we simply are busy. I don't think he trembles at the best of programs. I don't think he trembles at the greatest orator. I think he trembles when the church united stands on their knees. When the church united, humbly recognizing and knowing that the only way we can be strong is in the Lord and in the power of His might, and we stand on our knees. This morning, I want to give you what you are to do when you stand on your knees. And I'm going to encourage you to go to the right side of the service folder. And if yours is like mine, the last sheet in that says sermon notes. Now, today this is probably a little more important than other times, because typically as I take a text, I always look for a truth there. I always ask a question: who, what, when, where, how, why? And then I answer that based on the text. And because I typically will use a short paragraph of Scripture, there's usually two answers, three answers, four answers, once in a while five. And typically if there's that many, I preach 2 weeks on it. You know what I'm saying? Because we can't absorb that much. So it is with some trepidation that I say to you this morning, I'm giving you eight today. And by the grace of God, I'm going to get through those. But that means I'm not going to talk long on each one of those. And every one of those just comes so simply and straightforwardly from this text. But I invite you to take your little sheet of paper, and I invite you to write on it these words: stand on your knees and. Because all eight of them start that way. Man, you talk about a time saver for you. Just put stand on your knees and put a little colon or something after that. And then you number down that page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And I'm going to share with you what you do when you stand on your knees that will enable you to successfully stand against Satan. And oh, my friend, I can't imagine anything much more important than that. Now, with your Bible open, we began to simply look at the text. The text tells us, I'm looking now focused on 18, 19, and 20. The text tells us in the translation I'm reading from, the New King James Version, the very first word simply says, praying. Praying. Now, I'm going to just simply go ahead and give this to you. Stand on your knees and pray. You say, Pastor, we know that. Why would you have to say that? Let me tell you why. Listen to this. We confuse thinking about prayer with prayer. We confuse talking about prayer with prayer. We confuse prayer requests with prayer. And I believe the Spirit of God would speak to us and say, just do it. Pray. Pray. Stand on your knees and pray. Something is happening in America. I'm not surprised that atheists, and by the way, if you're here and you are an atheist, welcome. I'm delighted you're here. I'm serious as I can be. I'm thankful you're here. But atheists, they're uncomfortable with the language of prayer. To whom would you pray? I'm not surprised by that. But what does surprise me is increasingly, I believe Christians are using euphemisms when they speak of prayer. In other words, I think even Christians are uncomfortable with the language of prayer. Now, not you, it's the person sitting next to you, huh? Yeah. I believe that. And let me tell you why. I'm on Facebook. Friend me. I will be your friend. But I watch social media, and I see things like this from people that I know are Christians. And somebody's going through a struggle, and you know what I read on Facebook? I'll be thinking about you. Now, everybody listen to your pastor. When I need help, your thoughts are not what I'm after. Your prayers are what I'm after, huh? Because listen to me, only God can meet my needs, and prayer is the key to the power of God. Amen. So those of you, you know, you've started softening this down. Don't want to offend anybody. So I'm not going to use that word prayer. Rather, I'm going to say, I'll be thinking about you. Huh? I had the wonderful privilege of being with many of our deacons Friday night and Saturday in a retreat where I taught as best I could, and they taught me on prayer. And one of the things that I said is that when you're talking with someone and they ask you to pray for them, how about doing it then? And you know, I was so encouraged this morning as one of our fine deacons who serves over at the Ozarks Correctional Center in our Celebrate Recovery Inside program with inmates told me about something that happened, I think, last night where a man there in his 30s facing cancer asked him to pray, and he said to him, I'll pray for you. And as he started to walk away, he remembered, and he stopped and he went back and he prayed then. Don't be ashamed of prayer. Prayer moves the heart and hand of God, and things happen when we pray. So stand on your knees and pray. Oh, there's one I even like less well. I don't mean to offend, but it's the one that say, I'm sending good thoughts your way. I see those thoughts coming and they land. Oh, thank you. I felt that thought. You know, I know I could be offending somebody here, but listen, just pray. Amen. Just pray. Quit talking about it, thinking about it, sending the thoughts. Do it. Pray. Stand on your knees and pray. Now, back to the text, verse 18. Praying, what's the next word? Mine says always. Praying always. So here's what I'm going to say for the second one. Stand on your knees and pray at all times. You might say it like this. Stand on your knees and pray in all circumstances. See, I personally don't think that Paul means that you walk around all the time kind of mumbling your prayers. So people see out in town, you're going, you know, usually when that happens, we think something is wrong, quite frankly. And I don't think that's what he's saying. But I think he's saying this. There is no time and no circumstance that does not call for prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. James taught us that. Is anyone happy? Let him sing psalms. That's a way to pray. Is anyone sick? Call for the elder of the church. Anyone hurting? Over and over again, James chapter 5, he says, pray, 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 praise, pray, you know, praying. And so we are called to stand on our knees and pray at all times. We are to stay connected with Jesus Christ. He is the vine. We are the branches, and we are to abide in Him, and we are to remain in Him. Because without Jesus, we can do come on, without Jesus we can do nothing, but with Christ. Oh, I can do things through Christ who strengthens me. We are to pray and we are to stand on our knees and pray at all times. This is not Sunday morning praying. This is 7 days a week kind of practice of prayer. And the only way to successfully stand against Satan is on our knees. Stand on your knees and pray always. Pray always. All right, back to the text, verse 18. Praying always, and here it is, with all prayer and supplication. He says a little bit later in verse 18, supplication again. What's he talking about? What's he talking about? He's using differing kinds of words to describe different kinds of prayers. So I'll say it like this. Stand on your knees and pray. Number three, all kinds of prayer. Let me say it again. Stand on your knees and pray all kinds of prayer. When a child is 4 years old and their parents have taught them to pray like this, to bow their heads and say, God is good. Great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. By His hand, we are fed. Thank you for our daily bread. And we're so happy. If that's a child or a grandchild, oh, we feel so good. Now you fast forward. And now they're 18 years of age. And the only prayer they pray, God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. By His hand we're fed. Thank you for our daily bread. And there's very little applause. Not that they're doing it for applause, but you understand, same prayer. Same prayer. You fast forward to 35 years old, got their own family. And daddy doesn't like to pray out loud anyway. And so they say, you lead the prayer. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him. See what I'm saying? Now that's not a bad prayer. In fact, it's a very good prayer. It's a theologically accurate prayer. I like the prayer. But that's not praying all kinds of prayers. I don't know how many years ago, so I'll say 30 years ago, I went to preach a revival at the First Baptist Church in Sparta, Missouri. Wonderful people. They've since relocated into a new building. I've been back and preached again there since that time. But I remember going there, and we had gatherings, sometimes in homes, but often in the church, where the deacons primarily, and occasionally some others, but we got together to pray before the revival. That's a good thing to do. That's a good thing to do. And I remember this particular first time, we went into the room, there was six of us, I think, and the pastor called on a dear saint to pray. I don't know how old he was. I was young, so he was old. That's all I know. You know. So they called on him to pray. And I'm telling you what, that man prayed the finest prayer I've ever heard. I mean, it was the words carefully chosen, wonderfully spoken, nuanced perfectly. And I'm a young pastor. I'm thinking, whoa, I've just stood in the presence of a mighty man of God. And I don't doubt that he was. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But let me tell you, about two nights later, the pastor called on you to pray again, and he prayed exactly the same prayer. I mean, literally phrase by phrase, word by word. I bet it didn't vary three words. Is that bad? No. But Paul says praying all kinds of prayers. You ought to be praying prayers of adoration and praise to God. You ought to be praying prayers of repentance and contrition and confession. You ought to be praying to God gratitude prayers, thanksgiving prayers. You ought to be pouring your heart out to Him for your own needs and petitioning Him for the needs of others. All kinds of prayer. Comprehensive praying. You see, here's what I'm telling you. The only way to successfully stand against Satan is to stand on our knees and pray all kinds of prayers. Back to the text. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Watch this one now. In the Spirit. In the Spirit. Stand on your knees and pray in the Spirit. Now, you may know this, and maybe you don't, so I'll tell you. Some people understand this to mean praying in tongues. Praying in an unknown language that has been given to God to express what words in our language cannot express. And I will tell you that I believe that there is prayer in tongues. I figure I'm close enough to retirement to tell you whatever I want to tell you now. Seriously, I've told you that before. I believe every gift that God has ever given, He can still give. That's been always my understanding. Now, I don't think He does give every gift to every church. I think God in His wisdom knows what will bless a given church and what will help them fulfill their mission, and He gifts them accordingly. So I don't think it's right to say, we got to have all the gifts in this church. But I will tell you, I also personally don't think it's right to say, no, God can't give that gift now. He can't give that gift now. He can't give that gift now. So some people believe that when He says praying in the Spirit, that that's what He's talking about. And that's based on what He says elsewhere, 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, especially 14, as I recall, where He says, I'll pray with the understanding, but I'll also pray in the Spirit or with the Spirit. And so there's some good possibilities there. That might be it. But it's also likely that it's larger than that. When He says pray in the Spirit, listen, do you know what this is? This is praying when the Spirit prompts you to pray. So the spiritual goes, every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. It's praying guided by the Holy Spirit. How in the world do you know how to pray? And surely many of you, maybe most of you, have been awakened in the middle of the night with an urgency to pray for somebody. That is Holy Spirit prompting. Pray in the Spirit. Listen to me. Satan doesn't like that. He trembles at Spirit-filled praying. Stand on your knees and pray in the Spirit. The only way to successfully stand against Satan is on our knees. Stand on your knees and pray in the Spirit. Back to the text. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Here it is. Being watchful to this end. Watchful to this end. I say it like this, number 5. Stand on your knees and pray with alertness. You could use watchfulness if you choose. Stand on your knees and pray with alertness. Listen to your pastor. You don't know when Satan is coming. You better be alert. Because he will hit you when you think you're standing strong. He is sly. He is cunning. And he has had many, many more years to practice than you have to defend. And so I say to you, be alert. You don't know when Satan is coming at you. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us that he seeks to devour us. And we are to watch. But listen to this. You'll like this. You need to pray with alertness, not only because you do not know when Satan is coming at you, but because you don't know when Jesus is coming for you. Ah! And Jesus himself taught it clearly and explicitly, Mark chapter 13, 32 to 37, and in parables. He taught them they ought to watch. He taught them they ought to be alert.
He taught them that they ought to pray because there is an enemy and he is coming at you, but also because someday the trumpet will sound and Jesus is coming for you, or someday the bell will toll and your time on earth will be through. You need to be alert. Keep your lamps burning.
Because you're going to stand successfully against Satan only when you stand on your knees. So stand on your knees and pray with alertness. Back to the text. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, here it is, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Perseverance. Number 6, stand on your knees and pray with all perseverance. Satan never takes a day off. We must not fail to pray, or he may well prevail over us. John R.W. Stott writes, "Without prayer, we are much too feeble and flabby to stand against the might of the forces of evil." Praying with all perseverance. When we exercise ourselves and our faith in prayer, we become stronger, and then we are more able to say, "Get thee behind me in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord rebuke you, Satan." I will tell you, I'm very careful about entering into dialogue with him without the name of Christ being my shield, because Jesus can handle the devil. Jesus can take care of him. I, in my own strength, most certainly cannot. Stand on your knees and pray with all perseverance. We go back to the text, all perseverance and supplication. Here it is, for all the saints. For all the saints. Now, you wouldn't pray this way, would you? "Lord, bless me and my wife, John, and his wife, us four and no more." You wouldn't pray that, would you? But I wonder how wide your circle is. For many of us, our circle is amazingly small. We need to enlarge the borders of our prayers. We need to pray for all God's people. There is no need for anything competitive between churches. There's no need for any spirit of competitiveness with other Christians. There is no place for enmity and strife among God's people. You pray for all the saints. Number 7, stand on your knees and pray for all the saints. The only way to successfully stand against Satan is on our knees. So I say to you, stand on your knees and pray for all the saints. And that brings me to the last one. And this one's very personal for me. More so today than ever before in my life. Back to the text. Verse 19, "And for me." That utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul was wise enough to know his weakness and humble enough to ask for prayer. So am I. Pray for me. But I would expand that to say, don't just pray for me, pray for every pastor and every ministry leader in this church. Pray for me, yes, but pray also for P.K. Hinkle when you pray. Pray for me, but pray also for Shayla Hale when you pray. Pray for me, but pray for John Black when you pray. Pray for James Copeland when you pray. For Travis Laws when you pray. For Wayne Barron when you pray. For Craig Winicky when you pray. Pray for the associates. Pray for the assistants. Pray for the directors. Pray for the elders. Pray for the deacons. Pray for the teachers. Pray for the workers. Stand on your knees. Stand on your knees and pray for all your leaders. And then this one. Pray for your pastor who is coming. I'm going to give you some instructions along the way. And one of those instructions I'll give you right now. Once the transition comes, never. Everybody say never. Never. Okay, I want to make sure you heard me. Never say, "What would Hosey do? Who cares?" Not only that, you'd probably be wrong because I've surprised you enough times that you pretty well know that you don't know and I don't know what I would do. Only the Holy Spirit of the living God knows what I would do. I'm simply saying to you, pray for your coming pastor. He's going to be my pastor, God willing. And I'm going to ask you a question, and it's so serious with me. What kind of church will he find? Will he find a fractured church? Will he find a church where dissension is prevalent? Or will he walk into a place, and when he walks in, he'll know this is a place where prayer has been fervently offered many, many times. What would happen? What would happen if 2,000 members of Ridgecrest Baptist Church covenanted starting today to pray every day fervently for their coming pastor? What do you think it'd be like when he walked into the room? I promise you, in the spirit realm, something would happen. It is very difficult to pray for somebody and dislike them at the same time. It is very difficult for you to pray for somebody and then treat them improperly when you meet them. No. To be able to say to him, I've been praying for you every day for months, and say it with integrity, would be a powerful, powerful thing. So, stand on your knees and pray for all your leaders. Last thing, and I'm through. The repeated use of the word all and always. And here's what I want you to notice. Sometimes we pray some of the time, not all the time. Sometimes we pray with some prayers, but not all prayers. Sometimes we pray with some perseverance, but not all perseverance. And sometimes, maybe often, we pray for some of the saints, not all of the saints. I grew up hearing and singing a song that was written in 1924 by a lady named Kitty L. Suffield. The song is entitled, Little is Much. And through the years, we have always sung three verses. In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest calling you. Here's another verse. Does the place you're called to labor seem but small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and he'll not forget his own. The third one. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, he will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child. Well done. But I want to tell you, I found another verse, to my knowledge, that I've never heard and never sung. Another verse. Listen to this verse. Are you laid aside from service, body worn from toil and care? You can still be in the battle in the sacred place of prayer. Oh, I won't forget that. I'll be singing it. I'll be learning it. Are you laid aside from servant, saint? Or is your body worn from toil and care? You can still be in the battle in the sacred place of prayer. That's why Friday night we gather here at 6:30 for corporate prayer. One accord, one place, one call. Let's pray. Now, there's a commitment card, and I got to get to it. Here it is. Week number 4, got it in my hand. I will pray for my pastor every day, and I would simply probably put an S on that. I understand that the pastor's work is never ending. His days are filled with numerous demands that bring emotional highs and lows. He must deal with critics. He must be a good husband and father. Because my pastor cannot do all things in his own power, I will pray for his strength and wisdom daily. Heavenly Father, I'm calling on myself and upon your people, and I'm saying, can we count on you? Can we count on you? And Father, I think you're saying to my own heart, can I count on you? Hosey, can I count on you? Can I count on you to pray? Can I count on you to pray for your pastor? Can I count on you to pray for your coming pastor? Can I count on you to pray for the search team? Can I count on you to pray for the candidates? Can I count on you to pray for the churches where they're serving now? Can I count on you to pray? And I'm asking your people, Father, the same thing. Now help us, Lord. Help us to take seriously. We have committed to be functioning members, to be unifying church members. We've committed to the truth that it is not about our preferences and our desires. But now, Lord, help us to commit to pray for our spiritual leaders, to pray for all of our pastors and all those who minister here. Lord, help us to pray for our coming pastor. I love him, Lord, and I don't know him. Help us. In Jesus' name.